Welcome to A Load of Old Toffee, episode number 58, brought to you in association with boroughguide.co.uk and David Lloyd Jim in Stevenage. Dino, stop trying to get me on it. We've got a couple of guests this evening alongside Mark Hollis and Dean Thompson.
Ian Stubbs,
probably better known as Bulldog Borough to many on the forum.
Just Bulldog now.
And indeed, yeah, just Bulldog.
You've been here before?
Fourth time, I think, now. Might
Is
be
it?
Third, but it might be fourth.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you were in on the group one, weren't you? I think. Were you here at the
group one?
When there was about 19 of us in here?
No.
Brilliant.
Well done, Mark. Yeah,
I was getting you mixed up with Liam Govey.
That was the classic podcast.
Yeah,
that
similar was. Age, facial hair.
You're a little bit glassy-eyed at the moment as well, and a little bit distant. Why is that?
Maybe that's because I haven't slept well.
Maybe because of
too excited.
The man sat opposite you. We've got Chris Beardsley's joined us this evening for this latest
the Chris
podcast.
Beardsley as well.
The Chris Beardsley, the real Chris Beardsley.
We had to fake Chris Day on.
Yeah,
this is the actual.
Welcome, Chris.
Welcome. Evening.
Evening, yeah.
Thanks for having me.
He's come laden with gifts.
Yeah, you've done well.
Is there anything, is there a hidden meaning in that? It's a box of heroes.
No, there was no ulterior motive. I just got told three things when you join a new football club. You must get into bed with the media man, the kit man, and the physio.
And there's none of them here.
Well, he's obviously been in bed with a physio. Yeah.
How's the injury coming on?
It's good. It's good. Rested it last week and been back out on the grass today. So hopefully, come the weekend, I should be okay.
Okay. Well, your last game was probably the most enjoyable of the season. It's three games since we've last recorded, and it's almost certainly in terms of results gone from the sublime to the ridiculous, isn't it? 5-1 victory against Cheltenham, and then. Obviously, the defeat at Maidstone.
We're not going that far. No,
let's
start on a high note with the 5-1, and let's dwell on that for a little while before we move on to the rest of the shambles.
5-1, then. For me, it was easily the best performance of the season.
Definitely.
The season? Last season as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably right there.
And most of the season before.
Yeah.
It was the most enjoyable game of football I've had for two and a half, 3 years, I think.
Everything just clicked, didn't it? Yeah, I think you could tell we had more experience on the pitch from the start of the game. Going 2-0 ahead within, I think it was 10 minutes, always helps as well. And then getting the third before half time was a massive goal in terms of 2-0 at half time is always that score. Where do you go? You know, where do you go from here? And I think that one gave us a bit of a boost, and then we finished it off well at the end.
What's the difference between that sort of a game and, you know, some of the other games we've seen which have been really slow starting?
We spoke about it. We made a point of speaking about it before the game. We knew what we'd done to Accrington, Mansfield in previous games, and you know, we spoke about how we'd gone on to win them games and made it easy for ourselves. By doing such, and I also just think we had the players on the pitch that knew how to do it more than anything, and there was enough league games out there to be able to start fast and manage it from then on.
I mean, for me, Cheltenham weren't the worst side we've seen this season. In fact, we've lost games to sides worse than Cheltenham, and it was just such a big turnaround, wasn't it? And the good thing from our point of view was, it was 10 minutes and all right, it went a little bit quiet, but all of a sudden, set off again and, you know, another three goals.
But we never looked in danger of letting one in, did we? Right till the, till the death. They competed with us, but they didn't hurt us. I thought the back four.
Apart from the goal, Dean.
Right at the end.
Well, Wellesley put his hands up, didn't he, on Twitter after that?
It was one of those things.
But he beat himself up. I had to reply to him on there, then when he beat himself up over that. You won 100% of everything else in that game. You made one. One error, and I need to pull you as well, because I think if you listen back to the podcast before Cheltenham, I did say that Byron Harrison had scored, and you went, he won't score.
Yeah, but it was inconsequential.
And he did.
It was nice to
see. Okay, that one doesn't go.
It was almost nice to see Byron Harrison get a goal. Yeah, it went down quite well with the East Terrace.
He took it well, but he looked strong.
Weser would have done his nut if he had
been East Terrace. I don't remember him being that strong. I just remember him being a bit wiry and a bit lanky.
Yeah, he's definitely, you know,
he was holding Wellesley up, wasn't he?
He was probably their best player on the day as well.
Definitely.
He worked really hard.
Yeah, and I think, obviously, going back to the season, you know, the season he was here, he made a big impact in quite a short period of time, and you can tell he's probably now an established League Two centre forward, having spent, I don't know, two and a half years at this level and scored regularly, and I think you could tell the difference.
He's
in him in that game.
Very in and out of their side, though, isn't he? And I know that he's not had the best of times with the fans there, but it goes back to the Steve Morrison thing. He doesn't smile much.
I mean, to be honest, in the dressing room he was a great addition, just, you know, a laid back lad that did his job. He'd obviously come from non-league and he got us 8 goals in the running that probably, well, it helped us get promoted.
Yeah.
And he's gone there last year, he was top goal scorer, and I think he's top goal scorer at the minute, so if we're going to get on his back, it's sometimes a little bit harsh, but football fans are
idiots.
Fickle.
It's easy to be negative. It's a human trait. Always, you know, it's easy to be negative and positive. And I tell you what, if they didn't have, you know, they hadn't had him over the last 18 months, it'd be interesting to see where they would be.
Graham kind of took that win down.
Yeah.
I felt.
Yeah.
When it was perhaps a good opportunity to start.
He certainly talked it down. After what we could do. Weekend's game, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you spoke to him straight after, and it was almost as if we'd scraped a 2-1 or something. It was
kind of expected that, though. I mean, it's, you know, he's got to show that his feet are on the ground, hasn't he? I mean, he's probably inside, he's jumping up and down like the rest of us, but he can't really show that. But you know, a week later to sort of say, you know, yeah, it was a good win, and you know, maybe the turning point, but I wasn't quite sure.
I tell you what, though, Ian, that Barnard and Beardsley done all right, didn't they, that day?
Not too bad, pair each. Tappings, though, wasn't it?
They just come up on Sky Sports News, like, what minute they go in, they don't say how far out they are.
No one cares.
And that goal bonus is still there, isn't it?
Dino did you the injustice as well. You reckon you nicked that goal off of Barnard, the first one?
Yeah, I gave you pelvis.
It was going wide, though.
I don't think it was going in.
If
I'd have left it to not go in, you'd have soon been kicking off.
Oh, absolutely.
Second one, though. Nice little run into the box. And
yeah, I mean, in all honesty, it was probably from Barney's movement that I got the space. Because as Charlie challenged, Barney dropped off and I went long, and he won it cleanly, and I got in off the back of it, and he was saying he'd make me one. He owed me a couple from the two I'd made him previously. it was nice. It was obviously a big goal in the game, we felt, because it's put us 3-0 up before half time. And then, you know, if you've got enough about you should be able to see it out from there.
Well, the pair of you, though, didn't they? I mean, two hard working strikers there.
Yeah, I mean, we fancied ourselves away at Tranmere, but obviously I had to come off for 25 minutes when we were 1-0 up, and we were quite confident as a pair that we'd cause them trouble. Unfortunately, that was the next time we really got to play together at Cheltenham, and when we got the result. But he's a proper centre forward. You can tell he's been scored at the top level. His movement, you know, and I think he enjoys playing in the two, which, you know, is obviously what he wants and what Southend don't play. So, you know, hopefully we can both be fit and ready to go Saturday, and the gaff will pick us, and we can, you know, carry on from where we.
Is he still around?
I believe it is his last game of the weekend, and then obviously.
It's a bit shame to see him go back. I like him more this time round than I did when he was here.
He's
was
ten,
a whippersnapper.
He's 10 years older, isn't he, and wiser. And
I think you've got to take your hat off to him, really. He's on loan, and you know, it's not his club and whatever. But I mean, even on Saturday against Northampton, I think he ran his socks off all game.
He got a bit of grief, I think, from some quarters, but
it doesn't always work.
He just makes it moves, and he drops off, and he causes defenders problems, and it kind of opens up for your Charlie Lees bombing on, doesn't it, sometimes? And all right, we didn't really play with a two on Saturday, but even just if you watch him off the ball, you know, he's kind of my kind of player.
I think that was kind of good to see the two of you, because, I mean, if you like Marmy saying, two experienced players for that level. Well, he's knocking on a bit, isn't he? Look, a couple of grey hairs in there. But
since coming back to the football club, I've noticed that it's a position we're massively struggling. We did before, but we got away with it because we could play different formations. This time, 4-4-2 seems to suit the players, but we've never had the players to play 4-4-2. And Tranmere away, Cheltenham at home, with the starting, it was like, well, we've got two centre forwards up there. And no matter what you say, it's the only position on the pitch where you play with your back to goal. So it's not the same when you're a centre midfielder, right mid, and, you know, a left back. When you go up there, it's totally alien because you're not facing the way you normally face. So if you spend the other 30 games a season facing one way and you're expected to go up there, I just think it makes a massive difference when you've got two natural centre forwards playing up there. And I think if you take the scoreline and the results aside, you can just tell that the team's more comfortable and the players are more comfortable, and you get the better out of a Charlie Lee who's playing lopsided on the left because he's running towards their goal, because that's what he wants to do. And you know, it's the problem is we, at the minute, this team's trying to build momentum and we keep getting an injury or a knockback or someone suspended, etc., and we just haven't been able to build it. And consistency is the key word. You look at the top of the Premier League and Chelsea are consistent in the team they pick, and that's what we need. And it's almost like you're hopeful as we go into the new year we'll get that nucleus of experienced players together fit and then judge us.
Does the gaffer prefer 4-4-2?
The gaffer's pretty flexible.
What about the squad?
The squad's flexible as well. The only issue we really had is centre forwards. We just haven't had two.
It hasn't stopped us scoring goals though, has it? Goal scoring's not been a problem this
season.
26.
So I look at it and I always think, well, if you've got two on the pitch, you've always got a better chance of scoring or creating. Because if you're a centre forward and you end up being out wide, you've still got one in the box. Yeah. If you're a centre forward on your own and you end up being out wide, you're relying on someone making ground, which normally means if they aren't there, you have to come back out and it slows the move down, and then you're relying on them not being a decent team, because normally a team's going to get back and get men behind the ball. And I don't know if you can go off the scorelines. I mean, Mansfield, we won 3-0 and we played 4-4-2 with Charlie up there with me, so you know, it's,
I would suggest Charlie can play anywhere though.
Yeah, he's that type of footballer.
He's that versatile and he works that hard and he's that comfortable on the ball. It doesn't matter whether he's playing right back, left wing, centre forward, defensive midfield or attacking midfield. He'll always be one of the best players on the pitch.
And the gaffer always wants someone like that in his squad. He had Lobby before that could play six, seven positions, and he's got Charlie now, because you need him because of this situation. You're in League Two, you need players that can play everywhere. And obviously Charlie looks like that player this season.
Back four's looked all right now, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean,
we got Ronnie and then D was playing there, wasn't he, with Ash and Wells, and I think Ash has looked all right. People have given him some pelters earlier in the season, but I don't think he's put a foot wrong, from personally speaking.
No, he's 100% better than he was last season.
Yeah,
Darius has probably been our best defender for me, even when he's had to come inside.
I think he's better as a central defender than he is as a left back.
I disagree. He's been our best defender. He's been a damn sight better than usual. I'm not going to knock Darius at all, but he ain't been better than Wells, is he?
He's been good. And Daisy and Gunn.
What's that?
Daisy's you know, settled the ship. He's come in. He was exceptional away at Oxford. You know, he got to the clean sheet. He's probably been hung out to dry a little bit in games where he hasn't. Away at Carlisle, like, didn't get the protection he needed. Tranmere, you couldn't fault him for either the goals. And you almost think if the lads just in front of him just stepped on that little bit, Daisy'd have even less to do. And I think then you'd be looking at a team that's scoring goals and probably conceding fewer than we should be. And it's something we've spoke about as a team. How can we defend better as an 11 and then individually, one-on-one? Because at times in a game, you have to defend one-on-one.
He's still pulled off some
key saves as need in what we know that Daisy can do and perhaps other goalkeepers can't. I mean, I'll go back to that Maidstone at home when, you know, the 10 minutes to go, their lads through one-on-one. I don't think there's a better goalkeeper.
Not in this division.
In that situation.
No, not for his experience in this division. I mean, his kicking's back to its best as well. He's getting the distance. He's now back to what he was in terms of he's actually creating chances off the back of his kicking.
I think he's doing stuff that he never did Conference League 2, is he's coming a lot further than he used to for corners and stuff and punching. And whereas before, he probably didn't need to with that back four in front of him, but you know, he kind of left it to Rob Arash and whatever, didn't he? He probably, you know, he had a cigar.
Yeah, it gave us palpitations along the way a few
but
times.
He's coming and punching and he's doing stuff that I never used to see him do. So
I think the biggest thing between, I mean, who am I to say? I don't, you know, I've not played a lot of games at the back, but when you've got two centre halves that are dominant in the air and a keeper that likes to keep his goal, then you know where you stand. If you've got centre halves that are less dominant in the air, the keeper has to understand that he's going to have to come from more than he come from before. Obviously, I haven't seen Stevenage play over the last 2 years, but
lucky you.
In speaking to Daisy, I know he feels like he's back where he wants to be. And like, as a keeper, that's a massive thing, because you are an individual. There's things that the keeper has to do that outfield players is totally alien to, and they're always going to get the stick. They're there to be shot at. And since he's come back in the team, I don't really think you could fault him.
He was getting a lot of stick last season, wasn't he? When he was in goal, and everybody wanted the keeper to change and bring.
But that's what happens when
Steve Arnold in. But
lose a lot of games.
Yeah, he's back, and I mean, he had a long spell on the bench at the start of the season, and then he's come in and taken his chance. Mm. Yeah, you know, you just wonder how long he can go on. I mean,
to be fair to him, he's fit as a fiddle. Mm. He's in good nick, and because he's a clever, intelligent lad, he knows how to manage his body. He knows what it needs when it needs it. And in all honesty, he's probably now, he looks in better shape than when I left in terms of his in terms of his agility. And like I say, his kicking is, you know, he's back to his best, which for me as a centre forward is a massive plus, because all of a sudden you're running at the back of them instead of being hit from behind.
Yeah. And it wasn't good last year, was it? Because so many times I remember
Gideon was going out for throw-ins,
Graham
on the halfway
Dino
line, and
stood their arms outstretched looking at him as the ball's flown into the...
He didn't have much to aim at though, did he? Not to aim at.
That's sometimes the thing. If you're in games and you're losing games as a keeper, you don't want to be putting it straight down the middle.
Because it's coming straight back at your defence.
And he's wise enough and clever enough to know, you know, he's trying to keep clean sheets at the end of the day, and he's thinking, well, if I put it out there, at least it's giving us half a chance. And as well, this year he's got some good pieces of height. He's got a Charlie Lee, a Whelpdale, Bobby Deakin. For wide players in the air, you probably won't get three any better in the whole league. The only one that springs to mind is Ellison at Morecambe, who's generally, you know, really good from wide. Wingers don't head in it normally.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think Lucas Aikens is about that, wouldn't he?
But Charlie Lee wins headers that he's got no right to win, does he? He's not that big.
Well. Yeah,
he's got some strength.
Actually,
Deeks. And Charlie, like, if you look at their standing jump tests, they're massive for the size of them. They get some serious height, and they're good at hanging there and heading it. And it's again about, as a footballer, know what you're good at, and the team then play around it.
Sure, enjoyed it. We've gone down to Maidstone full of confidence.
I had no doubt we were going to win that game.
Yeah, I didn't.
And then we found out there was one change.
Yeah,
I apologise.
Chris Warner, you cost us an FA Cup run.
Have you been in the chairman's?
Pretty much a new training ground, isn't it?
It's been the FA Cup, and especially at Stevenage, has been very kind to me, and I'd say it's actually been kind to me through my career. And this year, I think I've made 5 minutes. I hit the post with a header.
And you hit the post, yeah.
So actually, the lads who played at Manston on Thursday only did 5 minutes.
yeah,
that was celebrating Darius's goal.
It's not ideal. I had a conversation with a few of the lads earlier.
The most understated geezer in Britain.
And it's, you know, it was said like we'd done it to many teams. We'd been the team that done it, and I think when you've been that team and you're playing against the team, you know that they're capable of it, and they're obviously winning games and fun. They've got some lads that are probably above the level. I honestly fancied us on the 3G pitch, to be honest, because I thought playing against players I have done in the past, I think it's not a leveller. Normally, it's normally you see who's better on the ball, who can move it. But when you go 1-0 down after 90 seconds away from home to a non-league side, your game plan goes out the window for a start, which is not ideal. And our away form, obviously, at the minute, is not good enough to get us back winning games, and it's something we've got to look at. The gaffer has obviously, he's gave us his thoughts on it quite strongly Friday, and in all honesty, he couldn't argue with any of his points. It was literally like, as a group of players, you've got to look at yourselves. The staff can give you all the information in the world, and you know what surface you're playing on. When you go out there, it's about 11 against 11, and to lose 2-1 at the times we conceded the goal just sums up our performance, I think.
I mean,
it seemed like we went from Cheltenham, where it was one of those rare days where every single player on the pitch has had their best game of the season, to Thursday, where you have another freak win, where pretty much man for man they've probably had their worst performance, probably not of the season, but arguably longer than that. And it's, I don't know, I've gone from being a little bit annoyed about it to quite pragmatic about it.
Do you know, I wasn't annoyed after the game so much, really, because, like you say, you know, we've been there and done that, and you know what it's like to be on the flip side, and you can kind of understand how all the Maidstone fans had felt and the players felt, and
we were probably
wasn't
two
a
one,
great
we?
Feeling, but we you just you just thought, one. Well done, Maidstone, because you know they've done to us what we've done to so many sides in the past. But I was kind of disappointed in some of the comments that Graham made about you know Maidstone being a big club and you know we can't be sort of too how can you, you know, for want of a better word, arrogant and expectant. You know, we've got to work for it. If you're a Stevenage fan, you'd be wanting to go to Maidstone and you'd be expecting to win that game. Ian?
Absolutely, yeah.
Comfortable.
I mean, I came away from it thinking, I wasn't annoyed, because I get annoyed if we don't deserve to lose. We didn't deserve to win that game. We weren't at the races for most of the game. Maidstone thoroughly deserved it, and I was pleased for them. I was jealous, because that's the sort of memory that I like to have. And that's how I want to feel as a Stevenage
supporter. Yeah, yeah.
You know, I was looking through some of the old non-league papers when we turned over Newcastle and things like that. And I really miss that feeling. No, we had no right to whinge about that game. But there's a mentality there from the gaffer, which I think has been fairly constant throughout the season, where he's giving opponents more respect, particularly away from home. We go away from home, there's teams that are there for the taking under the old Wesley regime and the old Wesley mentality. And we're now showing them respect from, you know, the pre-match comments during the game and post-match. Whereas previously, it's a case of, I don't care who we're playing, we're Stevenage, and we're going to, and you know, whether we're better than them or not, we're going to work harder than them, we're going to beat them, we're going to turn them over.
That really
is missing for me.
Maybe that counts, because I do agree with you, but maybe that counts 3 years ago when you had a squad that he might have believed in, and that actually you can look at that squad of players and say, I don't care who this squad of players are going to play, doesn't matter what level they're playing. Does he look at that squad now and go, despite is this our best team ever? Rubbish. Does he look at that squad of players now and go, I don't care who they're playing, I know they're going to beat them.
He's got to instil that mentality in the squad, because you've got some really experienced players in the squad and you've got some young players, and it's gelling them and giving them that sense of belief. Yeah. Technically, we're never going to have the best squad in the league because we haven't got the budget to go with it. So Graham's main selling point is being able to motivate those players, organise those players and get them to play as a functioning unit. And that's what's missing. And giving them that belief that, I don't care who you're playing against, if you give me your best, you've got a good chance of turning over these teams. And whether it's Maidstone, whether it was Oxford away, we went for it at Portsmouth away. All right, we lost. But we played well. We played well at Portsmouth.
Yeah.
Oxford, we didn't even go for it. They were there for the taking.
Yeah.
And we sat back and played for a 0-0, and it was awful. And so many of our away performances have been like that, where we just haven't had that desire, that ambition to actually believe we can win. Within Chris, 5 minutes of the game starting, I thought, we don't think we're going to win this.
The problem with this whole hard argument is, and it will happen for years, fans, media, people at the club are always going to hark back to that team, that squad,
yep.
Which is the only thing it's unfortunate for is the players here now. Like I said, when I come back, that squad's gone. That it's whether it was unique, whether it was whatever it was, it had success. It had something that worked for that period of time, but it also took a year to 18 months before it even got to the top of the conference.
Mm-hmm.
So it took a year to 18 months to get to the top of the conference. It then took another 18 months to get to the playoffs in League Two. The only time where the actual team come together in a short period of time was beginning of the League One season, where it literally, because they'd been together so long and they'd had the success, there was a belief in mental strength, a naturally high fitness level that could carry them through games when it wasn't quite going their way.
Mm.
And then when it did go their way, they would go and trounce a Sheffield Wednesday, they would go and, you know, beat an MK Dons 4-1 at home. And the fans have got to understand that this, to do that again, is going to take time. Like every other football club in the land, fans want results yesterday. And to do that, it does take time.
I think a lot of people can see that.
Yeah. I don't expect Stevens to go out trouncing teams week in, week out. I know it's a fairly new team, and I know it's going to take time to develop. So I don't think the expectations are false from most of the fan base. Most of the fan base understand where we are. We are a League Two team on a relatively tight budget. There aren't many people that are saying, yeah, we're going to win this league, we're going to finish in the playoffs. They want to see consistent improvement going forward throughout the season. And that's where some of the frustration comes from. I think we have got a squad of very, very good players. If you look at the squad in general, there's only one or two players in that squad. I'm not going to pull out any names that I'm not happy with. Most of them, with the right leadership and everything else, more than capable of putting in a very good season in this league. But it's taking time. And it's taking perhaps more time than some of the fans would have expected at the start of the season.
And my
aim for this season was always going to be, let's survive in League Two. I'm a little bit pessimistic in that regard. You know, listening to the chairman at the end of last season, he feared the double drop. It was always something, because of the way that you get into that losing habit. I never expected us to challenge the playoffs. If we do, fantastic. I just want to see us nice and safe in this season and build and develop as a squad. And then see where we go next year.
Well, look at Tranmere. I mean,
yeah. Again, it's very difficult to pass comment because I haven't been here for the last 2 years, so I haven't seen the football and I haven't seen what's happened. But last year I was at a club that got relegated, and in all honesty, from the moment I walked through the door, you could tell that club was in a mess. It was in a big mess. For the size of it, for the infrastructure, for the wage bill, was a disgrace for where it was. And it got relegated out of League Two on the last day of the season, and it got relegated because it thought it was too big and too good to go down.
Mm.
But you have to, like you've said, you have to understand where you are in terms of your financial clout. Stevenage are pretty stable in League Two. If you forget the last 2 years, we put a squad together this summer that's basically got 20 new lads coming together. We're now in November, and the biggest issue is we haven't had our experienced players on the pitch at the same time together. And when you haven't, and you haven't got that, you're going to struggle, because if you look at the teams that get promoted out of this division, they have a nucleus of experienced lads that know what to do in all situations. You look at our home form, as the season's gone on, it's getting better and better.
Yeah.
Now the issue we have to do now is, how do we improve our away form? Because it's a big thing. You can get promoted off the back of your home form, but it's very rare. And one win away from home is not good enough, and that's where the experienced lads will hopefully get you them points. And that's when you can start building momentum, and the consistency levels will come from, you know, win after win after win. And it's one thing that it's the big issue we've got at the minute. Can we keep the experienced lads fit playing and get some momentum going.
I think that's where people are getting frustrated, isn't it? People moan about the lack of consistency in the results, but I guess as fans you forget that in order to build that consistency in your results, you have to have consistency across the board. And if you can't,
if you can't put the
same 11 out, and you can't get the same squad out training, and
was it Mansfield where we said the big five were back, wasn't it? Was you were back, Ash was back, Ron was back, Daisy was back.
But then
and that famous fifth one was back as well.
On the flip side of that, from Cheltenham to Maidstone, there was one change to the side.
Yeah, but you've got to make two or three then. And you haven't got another second out now striker. Who do we play up top? Welbs, wasn't it?
I mean, in fairness, it was one change of personnel, and obviously. Yeah.
Complete change of shape.
Yeah. Well, three changes of position.
Mm.
Which, is it an excuse? Probably not.
Why are we changing position? We've gone 5-1. Surely there's a like for like change. Why is there not a like?
Well, you can't bring another Chris Beardsley into
like
the side.
Like, can you?
Chris
so.
Welpdale ain't no Chris Beardsley.
I know I'm no Chris Welpdale. Like, if I had to play, you know, but that's the issue we've got at the minute. Whereas you need three or four centre forwards, no matter whatever level you're at, you need three or four centre forwards at the minute. Well, Maidstone, we had one.
Mm.
And he likes to play with another one.
Mm.
And he's best suited to playing with another one. So straight away, you've got two problems out of one. And it's just the way we are at the minute. And
everyone was crying out on Thursday for Darius to go up top, and Graham didn't do it. And Graham was also pro Darius going up front earlier in the season, last season. Then he went there Saturday, and I'd rather have had him in at the back, if I'm honest. But
good finish though against Mason, wasn't it? That
very good finish.
Yeah, but Graham didn't want to throw him. Why didn't Graham want to throw him? I don't know. I mean, he wasn't seeing it out for a draw because he didn't want extra time. He was obviously going to try and win it somehow, but without moving Darius up top. But then that would have created 2, 3, 4 other changes that needed at the back.
Last time round with Graham, I think he would have moved Darius up there, wouldn't he?
Well, this is the argument again.
Yeah.
You keep going back to last time. We're not dealing with that squad of players. That squad of players had 7 or 8 players that played in the same position week after week for 150, 200 games.
Mm.
It's a completely, like, it's a crazy. It probably won't happen again.
Mm.
In terms of, like,
don't say that.
But is that what Brian's trying to rebuild? In terms of, you know, he's brought you back in. He's kept faith in Ash. He's kept Darius. He's kept Daisy. He's brought Ronnie back into the squad. Is he looking to try and get that nucleus of players that he likes that like him and work well for him, which you all do?
I think that's what it is. He's bringing in lads who know, because he's not like any other manager, is he? He wants to get lads in there that know how he works and that are strong enough characters. Well, that's what I think anyway. That they're strong enough characters that can instil what Graham wants to do in the other lads who are going to probably come in having not known how he works and go,
raise an
what
eyebrow or two.
Is this geezer talking about? So they need to, do you know what I mean? That's what I imagine.
In terms of us five lads still, you know, being here, me and Ronnie coming back, you always need some kind of continuity within a dressing room. Now the gaff is obviously, well, the club's been relegated, so wholesale changes needed to be made. The playing budget was obviously League One, it now needs to be League Two. So he had to make them changes. So in the little areas he could do it and keep some kind of stability at the football club, you know, he's done it. And there's still the few, you know, 2 or 3 lads left from last season's squad who he thought could fit in to a new one. But then again, it's a brand new squad again, I keep going back to it. It's a brand new squad that needs to be given time, because you've had 2 years of, well, you've had a year where you got relegated at the end of the day. So it's going to take time for these ones to gel and go again. And it will take time. But I think as players, you understand that you don't get forever, because at the end of the day, something gives. You're either out the door, or you're out the team, or, you can't keep getting away with substandards. And that's what the players have got to realise, because at the end of the day, the manager will say, look, you get so many chances, but if you're not pulling your finger out, there's changes that need to be made.
And this is where it from a fan's point of view, it gets difficult, because sometimes you see, and I think, you know, we have seen it this season, players who you see them on the pitch and you think, yeah, he's done a good job there. And then we don't see them again, or they go out on loan. And you know, Graham and Dino and Jason are obviously asking different things from players than what we're getting out on the pitch, even though the man on the terrace would, you know, actually quite likes what he sees there.
Yeah, I suppose that's where the manager has the final say.
Yeah.
He's there, you know, it's his decision.
We see him for an hour and a half. He sees him for 20, 25 hours a week, doesn't he? I think you're probably looking at Connor Colcutt there, aren't you, as an example?
Yeah, he'd be one.
Not done anything too badly wrong, scored a goal, looked all right in pre-season. Not Graham's cup of tea, perhaps, and he's gone out on loan, and now he's injured, isn't he?
Yeah, I think Tom Conlon comes into that bracket as well. You know, he's come on and I haven't seen him do too much wrong.
I've seen players playing in centre mid that have done far worse than that. Young Tom
comes quite highly rated, doesn't he? But not for Graham. I don't know. Maybe for the future, young.
Yeah.
Do we need that experience on the pitch rather than experimenting?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, games Tom's started, has he started two?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is the problem we found. They will judge a player on one, two, three games don't get you promoted and don't get you winning games consistently, and I think that's where you've got to trust the manager who's got a track record of getting a club up from this level, that he knows whereabouts, what it takes.
I've got that image of Tom Conlon. Was it the Mansfield game that he started, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And he'd only just signed for the club. He's come from Peterborough. We've won 3-0. And there's the image of him at the end, and he's fists clenched. Was it Shrewsbury? Yeah, it was Shrewsbury.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, and you could tell that it meant a lot to him to win that game.
Yeah, it's just the lad's Football League debut. He's just played at home and he's won a game. You'd expect it.
Yeah.
But you say that as if that shouldn't be the norm every week, and that's probably the issue more than anything from everyone.
Yeah.
Good point.
But we move on to Saturday.
Oh, you had to put a downer on it, Dino.
And we were shocking first half.
Do you know what? Saturday, I got more than I was expecting on Saturday.
What, in terms of game, a performance from the team?
Yep.
I thought it was absolutely awful. First half was dire.
It was the worst first half I've seen this season.
Yeah. Were you expecting more than that?
Yeah, I don't think it's too much to ask.
Tell me, Chris, what's it like playing two games within 40 hours of each other? Is it a mental thing? Is it a physical thing? Because there was a bit of a ding-dong in the press box afterwards. I'm saying, I don't think you're tired. I think it's a mental thing. Because in that last 15, 20 minutes, we really went for it. And we showed that we had something in the tank.
Yeah.
Mentally, well, your mind controls your body. So mentally, you should be in charge of yourself. But to play at 7:45 on a Thursday night, and then to play at 3:00 on a Saturday in League Two, is you're pushing your resources
against a side that hasn't had to do the same.
Yeah, you're pushing your resources to its limit, both like physically and in terms of logistically getting there and back and doing it all.
But we were going to go up on the Friday on the coach and play them on a Friday, weren't we?
We'd have probably, you never know. But that's we knew the plan. We knew when the games were going to be played. We knew what time they were going to be kicked off at.
Mm-hmm.
And I think personally, my own opinion, I didn't play in a box. I would have quite relished it. Go on, see what you can do then in 48 hours. This is a little bit of a test.
Mm.
You've got a big cup tie on TV that you're there to be shot at, and then you're going away to a local derby in Northampton, where there'll be a bit of bite in the game, because it's our old friend Chris Wilder. We've done a job on before.
Really?
So
don't remember that away.
So me looking at it thinking, go on, I fancy this, and it's almost like you have that bubble of time where you've just got to play football, recoup, eat, sleep, ice bath, and go again. And it was almost like, go on, give it me. And I don't think we quite relished it enough. As a, it was almost like, it's going to be hard work playing on Astro, and I almost felt like Gaffer was leading the fight in terms of what he's saying, and maybe the players left the gaffer to it a little bit when the players are the ones who are going out there to do it. And I was almost pleased that I heard on the grapevine he was back to his old self after the game. He started, and it's almost like maybe the players will realise if he's, you know, if he's willing to put himself out there and give it a bit when maybe they've let him down for the first half of the game, it might change a few opinions.
No doubt we'll come back to the end of the game.
We haven't started
a
yet.
Bit later. But for me, that first half, there was no energy, no passion, no motivation. It was, as Dino said, dire. Second half, we stepped it up a little
couldn't
bit.
Couldn't pass the ball, like
yeah, we couldn't
pass the ball.
And there was a couple of 10-minute spells in the second half where we started going forward. And then the last 5 or 10 minutes, the energy levels were superb, and we were pushing and pushing and pushing, which tells me it's not about fitness. That's a mental thing, and it's a preparation thing. Because if you can run like headless chickens and really push yourself for that last 5 or 10 minutes, when it's too late to try and save the game, then why couldn't we have put in more of that effort into the first half?
And that's what the point I was trying to make after the game. Yeah. And nobody wanted.
And that's what really annoyed people.
It wasn't too late to save the game, though, was it? Oh, there was a couple of chances, hit the bar and everything. But, yeah, I mean, well,
it's back to consistency again, isn't it? But I thought after Maidstone away, we'd have had something to prove, and there'd have been more of an impetus, more of a drive, and played at more of a tempo in that first half, and we'd have actually strung two passes together.
We were lucky to go off 1-0.
Yeah.
See, but on the flip side of that, if I was Chris Wilder, which I'm not by any stretch of the imagination, you'd be looking that Stevenage have played only on the Thursday night, you'd be looking to get them straight away. And in fairness, Northampton did do that early stages and pushed us back.
Yeah.
But then in the second half, it was turned round, and Northampton they looked nervous, didn't they?
Yeah. They really did. But any pressure on them, they creaked.
Within the first 5 minutes of the second half, the locals were turning, because I said to you, didn't I? I said that don't take much for the locals to start getting on his back and
clapping their flippers.
Yeah.
Which makes it even more galling.
And then of course, you know,
counting 6 minutes of injury time on one hand.
And of course, then you know, not only do you have to contend with the opposition and the opposition manager, but you have to contend with the fourth official as well, don't you?
Yeah, there was an undercurrent there, wasn't there? which was quite evident from quite early on in the game. I mean, Graham kept turning around, and we now know he was talking to Mitch and you know, trying to get Mitch to do things from the bench there.
But then, and we've skirted around it for 45 minutes, but then Graham blew his top, didn't he?
I love it. Why do people get so irate about it? I love
it. About Graham's reaction or about Graham's stick in the first place?
No, about his reaction. Brilliant. Oh, good. Good.
What would you have done?
Oh. I hate
not
to think.
To use that bomb.
No. Well, I love it. If we'd gone out and had a naff performance, and the press the next day are going, Drew Weser again last night, going on about whatever, it means that these boys ain't getting any stick, which has got to be better for you lot if the press ain't battering you and they're battering Graham for something apparently silly he might have said. Oh, I love it.
It was the Weser of Ireland, wasn't it?
Yeah. Carry on, Graham. Do it more. Make it
raging.
Worse. Do yourself a Borough chat account and start posting on there and all.
In fairness, Chris, I don't think the Stevenage press give the team a hard time.
That's probably the issue, in all honesty. I think we probably get away lightly in terms of.
And
get me a press pass.
I have to say, I think.
I'll start doing them.
I think a lot of that is down to the manager.
Yeah, he's probably the king of protecting the players. And
that's a deliberate ploy for him, I would imagine. A bit like the way Mourinho does it at Chelsea. It takes all the pressure off the players. Saying something controversial when his team played badly.
I know. After a game, if I went to Graham, oh, that was awful, wasn't it? Well, I know that then I'm in for a tough interview.
Whereas you skirt around it, you get a little bit nearer the truth, don't you, sometimes? Because sometimes he'll come out and, like after Maidstone, I thought, you know, he summed it up pretty well after Maidstone, and I couldn't disagree, you know, you couldn't knock him for anything.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's got away, he didn't get any grief last season at all, did he? Up until the last couple of weeks.
No, and even at the Meet the Manager event, which he clearly didn't want to do because you're a relegated team, he got a few difficult questions there. But the general consensus was people were still prepared to give him another season. And I've always been a fan of Wesley, and I still think he's, you know, the right man for the job. But it's sometimes quite hard to defend him. The way performances are going over this season.
How do you sign for him four times? How is that humanly possible?
Are you as bad as he is?
Do you sit in a room together in a green chair?
Do we just see this handsome big guy in a room?
I'd say it.
Were you off your head and all?
I'd say that our relationship is probably a lot different to what people think it is, in terms of
go on.
In terms of how we interact. I suppose over the years it develops and it evolves, and more gets said at certain points and less gets said, and nothing gets said when you're injured.
But, you're a dead body, aren't you?
I don't. It's we. You know, if you put down, you know, the games I played for him and the games we've won and the success we've had, it probably justifies itself. And I think I get 99% of the time I get exactly where he's coming from.
Yeah.
It's the other 1%. I'll give you that because I get you for the other 99%. And I suppose.
Do you say that to him?
No, but I think he knows that.
Nothing now.
He just needs to shoot a look across the room.
I think it's a rarity in football, you see, because footballers will always go for the 1%. And that's the thing. You have to understand that as a football, like as a person, really, whether you're a football manager or not, you won't get it right 100% of the time. No one does. Mourinho doesn't, and he's probably one of the best in the world at it. But he doesn't get it right all the time. So, as players, he signed you, he puts a shirt on your back, and he pays your wage. You back him 100% of the time, even if he gets it right only 99%. And with footballers, that's where the biggest issue lies, because they have an opinion, because it's the nature of the beast. They're surrounded by people with opinions. Whether they're right or not is a different matter, but to be a football manager, and as you mature and you see it, is the hardest job in the world. And you sort of, as you get older, understand.
Must be quite a nice feeling that somebody puts enough trust in you to sign you four times.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, we don't have like a smiley garden or hearts and roses relationship. At times it's...
Well, you don't sit around sort of comparing medals and...
The medals are gone now. The only medal is Morecambe at home Saturday. And
oh, you can tell he's been trying for four times, can't you?
And I suppose he's taught me in a way that it's...
I read every week in the programme interviews with players.
Yeah, you're going to nick my question.
Oh, go on then.
No, go you on. Ask then. That's fine. You've been very quiet tonight.
Which player in the squad is going to be a manager? And they all say Beardo. You want to be a manager?
I can see you doing it.
I'd love to be a manager.
I can see you in a three-piece suit.
But so that's where you go wrong, Sean.
As soon as you walk out
in a suit, you're there to be shot at.
Really?
It's the if you're a player and you play with them group of players and you've got an assistant manager or a youth team manager, all of a sudden gets a job, what's the first thing they do?
Suit on.
And what do you think?
Yeah, fair enough.
He's different.
So you've got to be very track-suited, clever and very...
I didn't mean in management, I could just see you in a free-for-all.
I get that. Got to understand, as a manager, you've got to be able to manage people. And to be able to manage people, you have to have experience in managing people. And it's the biggest issue.
Well, unfortunately, that's all we've got time for on this week's A Load of Old Toffee. Thanks as usual to Dean Thompson and Mark Hollis, and to our two special guests this week, Ian Stubbs, better known as Bulldog Borough to many, and also Stevenage striker Chris Beardsley. Thanks for your time, and there's a few more unfinished stories, I'm sure, to be heard from him, so hopefully we'll get him back at some point. Many thanks for listening. I'm Steve Watkins, and we'll be back in the near future.
A Load of Old Toffee.
This podcast was brought to you in association with www.boroughguide.co.uk. If you'd like to contact the podcast team or contribute to a future edition, please email us at aloadofoldtoffee@gmail.com, and that's with no spaces. You can also join us on Facebook by searching for A Load of Old Toffee, or you can follow us on Twitter at Old Toffee, again, no spaces.
A Load of Old Toffee. A Load of Old Toffee.